Blog Talk Radio.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Oh, yes, and that is Paul Harvey from way back in 1965, telling us what it was then and what it continues to be at even a quicker pace. It's just terrible what this world's become. But as the our Bible does show us in Revelation and all the books, and they're all 66 books from Genesis right through to Revelation, it's a whole complete revelation of what is happening today. And it's going, like I said, at a rapid pace. So, stick with Yah, folks. Stick with our God, because I'll tell you, the world is really getting evil. And my name is Glenn Atkinson. I'm here in North and South Texas here. Well, actually, kind of like North Texas, actually. And I have an amazing co-host. His name is Gary Rumor, and he's up in North Dakota. We are here, and we are doing the Pit Radio News. The Pit stands for the Politically Inconvenient Truth, and I'm going to get Gary in here. Gary, how are you doing up there, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, I guess. I can't complain. We're kind of having a blizzard today. I looked outside, and I can't see the neighbor's place, so it's blowing pretty good. And it's cold today, and it's supposed to warm up, though, because March is coming around. We're getting warmer weather and stuff like that. And, yes, I agree with what you said there a little earlier about evilness. There's a lot of that, and I'm going to tell you, this Democrat Party is the essence of evil. I mean, of what they're doing, what they're attempting to do, and they're trying to impeach an innocent man, our president, who was dutifully elected by all of us. We voted for him, and they just can't stand the fact they lost. So they're trying to look at the Democrat Party as like a tornado. Anything that gets in the way, they destroy, you know. I mean, they're doing the same thing to Roger Stone, because Roger Stone is close to Donald Trump. So they say, well, they're indicting him. And if they can't find anything on him, they just make up a charge as they go along and try to get him in jail. That's a Gestapo-like tactic. That's what Adolf Hitler said. And people said, oh, they're not like Adolf Hitler. And I said, they're exactly like Adolf Hitler. They're doing exactly what Adolf Hitler did. That's how Adolf Hitler got into power. He promised paradise. He promised that they were going to have 100% employment and do all this stuff. And look what happened. They didn't. They said they had a lot of employment, but there were government jobs like bureaucrats and stuff to control other people. And that's basically what they're trying to do now. They're trying to get rid of the private sector. But where does the money come from the private sector? The government themselves did not produce a single penny of money. It's the private sector. People like you and me, Glenn, we work. I mean, this radio show we do is, we do it for nothing. We're not being bought off. There's not advertisements paying us to do this. They're paying us to say certain things that they want us to say. We're doing this for no money, but we're doing it because we like doing it, and we're not going to be influenced. We can't be told what to say. And that's one thing I really like. I don't want some government coming in with the FCC rules and say, okay, you got to say this or that, or we pull the plug on you. And that's the thing that I like. We have the freedom of speech, and we're exercising it like it's supposed to be exercised. If our founders, our framers, and our founders of this country, and the framers that wrote the Constitution, if they could come back to life, I think they'd have a smile on their face, because we're using our First Amendment rights in a respectful and responsible manner. I mean, we're not going out wishing death or advocating violence to anyone. We've never done that. And everything that we have has been recorded. It's on archive. It's been recorded. So, I mean, if they want to listen, they can listen to it, and they will never find one a threat to hurt anyone or harm anyone that's not there. And like I said, we do it the right way. Try to win hearts and minds of the people over. And like I said, when I talk about defeating them, I'm doing it by the laws of the First Amendment. Without violence, we're doing it with the ballot box. Like I said, the Democrat Party, I hope people wake up, and I think they were going to wake up and vote these people out. They're evil, they're mean, they're cruel, and they really don't deserve a place on the political scene. They are the ones that are the true party of the KKK, and now with this afterbirth abortion, or afterbirth murder is what I call it, it's now the cult of death, because that's what they're doing. And they're actually proud of what they're doing. They claim somehow that, well, if the baby gets in the way, we'll just kill the baby, and then we can go on with our lives and change the world. And that's what one of the celebrities said, some liberal celebrity said. I have to, Rose McCowan or something like that, I think is her name. I'll have to look it up, but I saw her say that. And she said, I had an abortion so I could change the world. That baby would be in my way. Isn't that evil? And, you know, that's just horribly evil. I mean, life doesn't mean anything to them except their own lives, you know. And that's the thing. We value people's lives. They do not. They value their own, and that's it. So I'll turn this back over to you. I had to get that off my chest anyway. So.
Yeah, well, you're right. You mentioned quite a few things. I got to try and remember to address as many as I can. one of the key things you start off with was basically that you mentioned that, you know, we have this show and we bring it here without advertising because we don't want to be beholden to anyone. And you see, it's so true, because that's exactly how President Trump, then candidate, come off too, is he didn't want to have all these big donors and all that kind of stuff, because he's totally, totally on a mission for what God has anointed him to do, not for what these other donors have anointed him to do or want to anoint him to do. And it's the same with our show. So the correlation is the same, is we're trying to follow what y'all wants us to do, not what all these other people that might want to come in and have us advertise for them, because not only are they getting advertisement for whatever they're trying to sell, but they're also being dictating what we're going to say on our shows, which we can go a little deeper. A lot of these churches out there that have that, I think it's like the 401k or whatever have you, or something that they get from the government, whatever have you. All these ones that they're beholden to the government, or those, this evilness that they, you know, so they can only say what they want, what they're allowed to say, and different. And so the thing is our God does not, he's not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of what we do, and therefore that's our obedience. So therefore, why would we want to be obedient to man and them dictating to us? And it's the same with Donald Trump. Why would he want to be dictated to by man, in a sense, to do that? Now, keep in mind, he's here for the people, in a sense. Don't get me wrong. He's here to protect this country. So yeah, there's man involved. But what he's doing is he's actually being led first, I believe, by his actions. For the most part, I mean, we're all not perfect. So therefore, he's doing what is biblical. A lot of the things he is doing that are very, very, you know, with bringing the back to Jerusalem. You know, we got now. You know, look how many presidents have tried that. You know, as recognizing Jerusalem as the capital and everything like that that we have. And so he's done that over, like, many presidents haven't done that. So he's doing a lot of things biblical and not things that are donor related, because he knows from his own experience that, and when he was donating himself to different things, different, you know, both sides, he knows exactly what they do and whatever, have all the domination that they want. Well, guess what? I want to be dominated by our God, by Yah. So therefore, I want to do as much as I can, you know, everything I can to get closer to him. And therefore, I will do right by the people because I'm doing right by him. So see, there's three things here. There's the presidential candidate that was trying to get to be the president, trying to win the people over with honesty, not with donors dictating what he could do when he becomes the president, like a lot of them have done in the past. So therefore, then there's our show, where we don't want people telling us what we can or what we can't do, and we don't want to advertise something that is worldly. If we advertise someone or something for free, because I want to help them. I don't need them to help me, in a sense, that way. So therefore, the only one I need help with is God, is our Yah. And so therefore, it's the same thing with churches. If they, you know, that's why a lot of these churches are so corrupt, because they've allowed themselves to be taken over by governments or donors or whatever have you, and now they're beholden to them. Well, I'm sorry, but you know, you can't get off script of the Bible. And if that's what's allowing people to get off script of the Bible, or allowing a president to get off script of what God wants, or allowing our show to get off script of what God wants, then we're doing a disservice mostly for God. So see the correlation between those three, and what are your thoughts about those three things there, Gary?
Well, you're exactly right, but I have to say something about the church. I know what you're talking about. That's the tax exempt status, you know, and if they're, you know, it's a separation of church, which there is none, but they say that they have tax exempt status, and if they sit there, now this doesn't happen to all the churches. I have to say this. So some of them don't follow that, which is good. They do speak what's morally wrong and right. I'll just give an example. Our church, you know, when we went to the Catholic Church, they spoke out against abortion, because abortion is legalized murder. But in other places, especially the bigger cities and more liberal states, if the church did that, they'd lose their tax-exempt status. And, of course, that would pretty much put an end to the church. This is basically kind of like, you know, what a dictator does. See? I mean, they're doing the same thing, except they're trying to soften it and make it look like you still got the freedom to do it, but you just lose your tax exempt status. So they punish you.
Right, and I apologize.
No, you're right. I mean, but they lose their tax exempt status, but they aren't going to come out and throw the priest or the reverend in the gulag. Now, some people don't follow that because, you know, you'd have to have somebody that would report you to the government. Well, up here, nobody's going to do that, because most people up here are conservative, and they believe that we have a right to life. And you're exactly right, my friend. But we have to, you know, just be alert to all this stuff. And well, if you follow the Bible, then you kind of know if a church is misleading you or not. You know it then. You know what's right and wrong, and that's pretty easy to do if you follow the Bible. If you don't, then you're going to be indoctrinated, see? It's just like what they do in the schools, the same thing. Indoctrination where the government wants to teach you how socialism works, and it's a great thing, and they've tried to present a positive picture of something that has a 0% chance of success. And I mean, yeah, people buy into it. But anyway, I'll turn this back to you. So,
okay, no problem. Now, what I was meaning was when I said I apologize was I mean I'm apologizing because I mentioned about 401k. That's not I meant to say 501c. That's the actual the government code for helping churches out and whatever have you. I guess I have 401k on my brain. But anyways, but that's what I meant to say was that was the actual the code I guess for them to for the churches. I believe that's what it is. Is that correct? The 501c. I think that's what they have for the code for them too.
Glenn, if you can hear this, call back in. Or, I don't know, maybe I dropped off. I don't know. I don't know if I'm on air or not. I see my name and I see his name up on the
board. Can you hear me?
Yet,
I can hear you.
I'll see if we can
call
you
hear me?
Back in. But yep, now I hear you. I think we lost you for a second. I don't know if you can hear me or not, but you got
I didn't
back.
Have it on mute.
Okay, I'll let you continue.
I didn't have it on mute or anything,
okay.
So let me start over again because I'm not sure where I was dropped off at, but... anyways, what I was saying was, as I was mentioned earlier about 401k, but what I meant to say, my apologies, was 501c. That's the actual code that the tax exempt, I believe, for churches and whatever have you. I think that's what it is. Is that not? I think
that's
it's
right.
It's
you're right. And Glenn, don't have to apologize. It happened. People make mistakes. You didn't. You're fine. You're doing fine. So
no, but I wanted
you
to
just made a mistake. Yep.
I just wanted the listeners to know that I did know what I was thinking, but for some reason I had 401k on my head, and that's not that's our retirement plan. That's not a
we all
anyways,
know those things. So.
oh yeah, but I didn't want if somebody to call in and say, what are you talking about 401k? I wanted just to address that real quick. Anyways, so the 501c that's what gives them the tax exempt, but. I won't ever fall into that category because I don't need the government to help me with anything. That's why, as you recall, it ties into also me coming here. 13 years ago this July, I came to America from Canada, and I couldn't work for 10 and a half years because of government interference. So therefore, I wasn't going to bow down to them and do something to justify them continuing to do more harm to me. So I wasn't even going to take anything from them. So I won't now. I wanted to come here to work. I wanted to come here to contribute, to not take anything from the government, and I don't want them telling me what to do outside of the Constitution. And that's what they're doing here. They're twisting things and whatever, and they're doing the same thing with churches. And I won't allow them to do it to me because I am ruled by one, and that is my God. That is our Yah. That is Elohim. That is our Yahweh. That is the one I'm ruled by. Abba Father, not by a government, because government wants to play God. And this is what you were saying earlier. They want to rule us. Well, I think I stand pretty firm, and I've shown through many years now. That I will not allow the government to give me anything that I don't deserve. In other words, I want to work for it. So therefore, if I have any church or if I have anything like this, I will do it how God wants me to do it, and that will bless me and the church and people in it with doing what His will is, not ours, and not twisting something up and using donors to have them rule over us. So I think you can probably testify with me that I think I've proven myself that way, and that's why I won't allow them to do that, and I don't suggest anybody else, because no matter what you're going through, God is with us, and we don't need the help of government, only security. That's what they're here for, is to secure us in God's way, to help secure us with the borders and whatever have you, and that's even from within, the people that are trying to harm us from within. So therefore, this is the thing. We can't allow them in us because we have God in us. And that's why,
You're exactly right. But when it comes to us within the borders, That's why we have a Second Amendment. We have our own security. Hey. You know, the Second Amendment is our security. It's our homeland security. But yeah, they're right. The president's job is to secure the borders, and he didn't violate any law when he wanted the wall up. You know, he just wanted to control who comes in. I do too. I don't want to see anybody coming in willy nilly. You know, I just
Amen.
You know, I want to see people who are good, decent, somebody like you, Glenn. Come in and willing to work and earn your own living and contribute to your family, but that also contributes, believe it or not, it contributes to the people too. Every time you work and you work hard and earn money and you do well, you're also helping the country. You're a big plus. Now these other people that come in there and try to steal your Social Security, and this is one thing I don't like about the government creating these programs. I wish I don't even believe in Social Security. It ain't their money anyway. But what happens is, at one time it was a trust fund, but Johnson changed that in the 60s and it became part of the general fund. So now when you're on Social Security, you're actually taking taxpayer money. And that's wrong. But the thing is, you paid into it also. So you're being lied to. It's a kind of a form of deception. You really don't get back what you put in it. You know, it's just it's just a form of deception. That's how they bought votes. That's the same thing with these illegals coming in, open borders. They lie to us and tell us, oh, they're not. There's no criminals coming in. I mean, it's safe and secure. They're not coming in, but they're looking for votes. See, they'll lie to us. It's just. That's what socialists do. They lie. They use their own form of taquilla to further their agenda. And we're starting to see this. And I do believe with what they're pushing, when they're actually bragging about democratic socialism like it's something different. I ask them questions. I say, what is democratic socialism? They won't tell me. They call me, you're stupid. You're an idiot. They'll call me, you know. They can't answer it. Well, because it's no different
than
the other form of socialism.
They always revert back to name calling when they can't argue with the truth, you know. So, but you mentioned about Johnson. You know, I'm glad you brought Johnson, Lyndon B. Johnson, up because he was the vice mm-hmm. president to John F. Kennedy before Kennedy was killed, and so therefore mm-hmm. that's another whole show we could even have. But the thing is that Johnson was mm-hmm. so against Kennedy. He was so different. He was like a socialist, a big socialist. John F. Kennedy back then would never have done what Johnson did. What you just said, you know, by having it be a tax, having it be where the people pay for everything and all that kind of stuff. Kennedy was not like that. He was more of a conservative today, and Lyndon B. Johnson was more of like the Democrats that are like now. That's the avenue, the road that they were trying to go down, and that's what they did. Johnson furthered their agenda by taking over being the president and whatever have you, and that's what he was doing. That's what him and Kennedy did not get along in a lot of ways. They did not. That wasn't his first. Mm-hmm. That wasn't his pick really, for vice president.
No.
So therefore, that's why you see a difference in the climate that happened from when Kennedy left. That's when, you know, basically the crap hit the fan. That's when things got even worse because mm-hmm. he wasn't going along with the Democrat, the agenda that they wanted to do. And that's why they killed him off. And that's exactly what mm-hmm. goes on. That's why they tried to kill Reagan off, because Reagan wasn't going to do what they all want, the elitists want him to do. And that's why they've been trying to kill Trump off. People may not believe that or not even know about it. But there's been several attempts on too, you know. So this is what
that's a thing. They got a lot of people who are mentally unstable now. They don't put them in where they in a mental institution where they need to be. They're out there, and of course they're a threat to. I mean, I don't look at the firearms as a threat. The gun itself is just a tool. I look at these people as a threat, but that's how they put a Band-Aid on it. That's how the left puts a Band-Aid on it. If you ban these guns, crime will go away. No, it won't. It'll get a lot worse because even if you just snap your fingers like that and all guns disappear, snap your fingers, guess what?
Well,
they'll still
you're right.
have
and,
knives
you know,
and baseball bats
yeah.
will be used, you know.
Well, we've mentioned many times. You're right, Gary. We've mentioned many times, you know, two major things for people to think about. If you put a gun on the table and walk away from that, is it going to rise in the air and start shooting people? No, it needs someone to. And not just that, but when have you seen a gun in jail? When have you seen a gun get a sentence to go to jail because it's wrong? You know, and when have you seen a knife? Oh, you're going to get life in jail because you know. No, but guess what? It's not the gun's fault. It's not the knife's fault. It's not the baseball bat. It's someone's attitude behind that actual mm-hmm. inanimate object. It's called inanimate object until something triggers it. And the trigger is the person's
exactly.
finger on the gun. So that's what I'm saying. So we've had this argument with people, and that's the best argument you can have is those two things. When have anybody ever seen any kind of gun get up from that table, get in midair, unless you're watching Bewitched from 1968? I mean, seriously, folks, it ain't, you know, it ain't happening. Yep. That's just garbage. It's all indoctrination that people think it's just the gun. And it's not the gun. It's the attitude behind it. Because you know what? Your neighbor, you could have one of these neighbors that is a psychotic person. And they could have the exact same gun as you, exactly the same year, exactly bought at the same store, bought from the same guy, same ammunition, same everything. And they could go out and kill up 2, 3, 4, 5 people just because they think something in their own mind is, that's what you got to do. This is it. I'm mad, so I'm going to do this. And then you can get a guy like yourself that goes out and goes on the firing range in his own property or goes out and hunts for food for his family. It's the same kind of gun, the same everything else, but it's a different attitude behind the gun. So I'm telling you, they have never sentenced the gun to go to jail. They sentenced the people. So therefore, if you take away the gun, you still have a guy that has a mindset the way it is. So therefore, he's going to go out and get something else. Mm-hmm. It's not going to use a gun or maybe get a different gun or whatever. So therefore, it's all indoctrination that they're doing to actually show people that, you know what, we're in control. But you know what? No one isn't. God doesn't even say I'm gonna just make you do something that way. Or where he said you have freedom. You have your freedom, your free will. So therefore, your free will comes with consequences.
Yeah.
So therefore, His will
you're
will
exactly
give you peace.
Right.
Of,
and,
right.
Yeah,
so that's
exactly
what I'm
right.
saying. Is
you're
those
exactly,
two, those two examples.
These same people want to ban
people.
The guns. They want to legalize drugs. They want to legalize
yeah.
dope. And
they want to kill.
Yeah.
And they want to kill babies. They want
exactly.
to kill babies, so they're it's their mental attitude. So therefore, the baby wouldn't die unless someone did something to it. It's no different than a gun. The baby will
exactly.
be just people will just leave them alone and just actually let them do the term and let them get out there. Because guess what? There's many people out there that believe that you should actually get rid of the guns. Well, they're also believing get rid of the babies. And guess what? None of them are at fault. Not either one of them are at fault. The gun's not at fault, neither is the baby. It's the attitude behind the person that wants to just control and take over and say, I am going to tell you what you're going to do and what you can't do with that gun or with that baby, and it's both wrong and the same. Nobody's ever said that, have they, Gary? Nobody's really put those two together that I've ever heard where they're taking the guns away and now they're taking the babies away. You put them both together, guess what? It's not the fault of the gun. It's not the fault of the baby.
Exactly.
That's pretty
exactly
powerful
right.
stuff, right?
Yeah. And the thing
and
is, too, and I've said this, too, you know, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights was patterned after the Bible, if you really want to look at it. And if you remove God, and I've said this so many times, I'm going to keep saying it because I think it's important to get this through. If you take away God, then the Bill of Rights don't work. Your First Amendment doesn't work, and the Second Amendment doesn't work. You have to have God in the mix so people know what's wrong. It isn't a big gray area like the left wants you to think because they don't believe in God. So they denounce God. They want to play God, and they say everything's a big old gray area, and there's really no right and wrong. Well, you see murders going up, and then you have noticed some of these leftists now are advocating violence against peaceful protesters that disagree with them. Eric Holter is one. Go out and kick them. Well, that's violence. That's a crime, actually, but he'll get away with
well,
it. And this is
you're
this
right.
is a problem
you know
when
also
you get rid
done?
Of God.
Yep,
well,
that's
that.
Right, and that's what they're they've twisted the Bible and they've twisted the Constitution. You see, they can't twist one without the other. If they twist the Bible, it's more accepted to twist the Constitution. That's what they've done. They've taken all these Bibles and there's thousands of different but that I know of different Bibles out there with all completely different of what God really wants. They've taken sentences out, they've taken words out, they've twisted the Bible out, and they're doing the same with the Constitution. They're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. They're throwing everything. They're throwing the Bibles out. They're throwing history books out. They're throwing everything out to actually indoctrinate people to what people will think that that's the real base and foundation of what everything lies, and it's not. It's all a bunch of lies. And that's the whole thing. When you take the Bible, the original Torah, the original Hebrew Bible, and you twist and you turn it and you twist and turn it, and you take the Constitution, you twist and you turn it and do whatever you want with it, well, then what it is you're actually taking it like a mold of clay. Well, guess what? That's not to be changed. God does not change. He's an immovable rock, and if you had the Constitution that's based on the immovable rock, that shouldn't change either. It's not a living, breathing thing, mm-hmm. document. It's actually something that's immovable. It is solid, and it's supposed to be solid.
Exactly.
But they have twisted it. The Bible, they twisted and turned the Constitution, and they twisted and turned the people's minds to think otherwise. And that's where it's come down to. And you know, you said it yourself.
And
that's what they're
doing. Yep, and when they say it's a living document, that means the document, it doesn't exist because they can just twist
right.
it to anything they want to. And that's what they mean by living document. You might as well just say, well, we don't have a Constitution then because it's a living document. It's that kind of like saying the law of murder. That's a living law. It's a living law. And pretty soon the law won't matter because they'll say, well, certain people are probably okay to murder. You know, I mean, they'll just twist it into something else. That's why we have laws like that, and they're rigid. You want, if you don't like the law, I always say try to change it. That's what your legislators are supposed to do. Try to change it. And there's ways to change the Constitution. It isn't easy, but they're there, and they don't like it, so they sit there and they get the courts involved, and they want liberal courts. This is why the Kavanaugh, they want to destroy him. It isn't because he had affairs. That doesn't matter. What they wanted to do is destroy him because they wanted to put a liberal in his place so they could get their agenda through, and they're using the courts. And now they don't have what they wanted. See, we had Kavanaugh got in because he happened to be a man of fine character. Not a perfect man. Nobody is. But he didn't do all the stuff that he was accused of doing, but that doesn't matter to the left. If they can't find anything, they'll just make it up. You know, that's how people are libeled and slandered. I know, I experienced that. I told you before. So, you know, you just, you know, like I said, this is getting pretty much to the bottom. And people start doing that, when they have to libel people, that's a sign that, you know, they're really desperate. There's something really wrong here. That's desperation. And that's how desperate people behave. And hopefully this next election, we can teach these leftists a big lesson. And as you notice, I didn't promote violence. I said, get out and vote, people. Oh. That's the way to do it. Get out and vote them out of power, because that's the best punishment. They're going to get mad, but let them get mad. They have no choice. Once you vote them out, they can be dragged out of there kicking and screaming. You know. So anyway, back to you, my friend.
Exactly. You're right. And, you know, anyone that wants to join us in this discussion or some topics you want to discuss that are, you know, that's fine. Just keep it clean. But we have a phone number. You can call us on 646-787-8534. And like I said, well, if you want to, you know, say anything at all, have a comment or question, just press 1 and we'll get you on here. And we'd love to have you on here as part of the show. And if you're hearing this in archive, you can join us every Sunday, Central Standard Time, 1 p.m., and you can use the same phone number, 646-787-8534, and just press 1 and we'll get you up here. When we're talking about the Bible and the Constitution, here's how it connects or disconnects in a lot of ways over the years. If we have a solid rock foundation, a solid foundation with God, okay, and it's an immovable rock, okay, check it out in the Bible, the real Bible, you know, check out the Torah, check out the Hebrew, and it really does show you in there the translation into English exactly, not twisted out and turned and everything else like all these other Bibles. But if you check it out, we have a movable rock, okay? And therefore, if we base the Constitution on an immovable rock, then that Constitution should be immovable. So therefore, that's a foundation. But here's the thing. Here's what's going on here. The foundation of God, and they twisted all that, and they wanted now the masses to go, and so therefore now they have their own foundation, and they're building off that. So they got these walls, the media, all these other things that are going on that are actually building off of their so-called foundation that they think is solid, and moved away from the immovable rock, which is God, Yahweh, Elohim, Abba Father. Okay? So therefore, now, and when they get the masses doing what they're doing, now they can mess up the Constitution. They can do whatever they want with that, and now it's got their own walls, whatever they can do. And this is why you get people out there that are so-called journalists or reporters. They're not journalists anymore. They have their own opinions and all kinds of stuff. No, they're supposed to report the news, the truth news. But no, they have their own opinions. They're an opinion columnist. So therefore, now what they do is they indoctrinate people with all this stuff that's not from the original foundation, the real foundation, the rock that we are on, mm-hmm. and that's why they're getting away with this stuff, because, you know, that's why there's a saying out there, don't follow the masses. If you follow the masses, you're going to be leading the blind. They do not care. They just want power, money, greed, and so forth. That's what they want to do, and therefore they can indoctrinate us and twist and turn the Bible, twist and turn the actual Constitution, they get their own ways. They twist the history books for kids that are, you know, coming into school now and have been for decades. So now you've got something that they believe is history, real history. But no, it's indoctrination of falsity. And that's exactly what they're doing. So therefore, now when they're out there and they're trying to push the socialist agenda, they're getting a lot of people in there saying, yeah, I want that, because, you know, that's good. And then I'm gonna have health care. I'm going to have all this free. It's all going to be free. And then you find out that you're running out of other people's money. And you find out, that's what's happening. We're not going to be able to afford it.
The doctors will quit, and you won't have a place to go.
Exactly.
That's the thing. Doctors aren't going to work for nothing. They're just walk up, okay, fine, I'll do something else. And
That's what doctors were doing under Obamacare. They were leaving. They were, because Obama said you can keep your doctor. But guess what? You can't keep your doctor if he leaves. So therefore, that's how he twisted truth there also. He said, you can keep your doctor. No, you cannot keep your doctor if they leave. Therefore, you have been chose to go some other way. So then now you're under the Obamacare rule. And that's what they do. They twist and turn everything they can to make it sound so good with words and with their ideas. And they don't tell you the whole story. But, you know, folks, it's no different than walking into a movie 15 minutes late and leaving a half an hour early. Are you really, really, really getting the whole truth and the whole idea of what that whole movie is? No. And that's exactly what Democrats and elitists and liberals do, is they want, and Republicans name only, they people that aren't of God, they're only going to give you, they're cherry pickers. That's what I call them. They're cherry pickers. They give you this part of the truth at best, and they don't tell you the whole truth. They give you a little bit here, a little bit there, and then they push that doctrine. They say, okay, here's what we have. This is what we have. And then people start believing it. And you know what? Before you know it, the truth comes out, and guess what? It's already signed into law. It's already this. So therefore, you got to change everything again, and that's why we have different presidents. So we have to change everything. But it takes so hard. It's so much harder to undo something than it is to just keep it implicated in the first place. But if people keep changing stuff because they're feeding you lies, or even if it's just some truth and not giving the whole truth. That's why people need to stay on the solid rock and stay in the truth, because you know what? We can't pick and choose in that Bible what we think is truth and what is not, because that's what we call cherry picking. That's what we call that suiting to what man wants or man's needs of their own agendas. And that's what they're doing with the Constitution. That's what they're doing with all the socialist / communistic agendas that they're doing. And that's where it all ties back, folks. If you go right back to the Bible and you see in there, and if you really know and you feel that indwelling Holy Spirit inside you that's telling you, your conscience, no, this is wrong, that what they're doing is wrong, then you are set apart from the masses that understand that this is wrong and that's not the right road that Yah, our God, has placed us on. And that's why he sent Yeshua, as people call Jesus. He was sent to show us how to do it. We are not supposed to follow what man is doing, because they are going to lead us astray. Now, mind you, Paul in the Bible, he was a man that was used, and he was against God himself, and hung the coat for Stephen when he was being murdered in the Bible. And he was transformed himself by his brother Peter, that come over and said, hey, you know, this is the way it's supposed to be, blah, blah, blah. It goes on. You can read about it. And that's why he wrote most of the New Testament, what they call in Christianity the New Testament. It's a new covenant, okay? So therefore, what it was to fulfill all and resort back to what the actual original, the Old Testament was to do, is to keep all the laws, not to change them. And this is what they're doing in this actual, you know, America and the world. They're trying to change what's already in rock, in solid rock. And therefore, if Paul can imitate Yeshua, Jesus, then we're supposed to follow it, because Yeshua says, follow me. He doesn't say follow man. He says follow me. If you're following man and they're not following me, then you're being led down the wrong path. You're indoctrinated by lies, and you know what? That's the blind leading the blind. And guess what happens when you're blind and you're going and you're being led by the blind? You're not going to a place where we were supposed to be set apart for, and that is heaven. We're all going to be going down the wrong road. So I choose myself. I'm not pushing on anybody. I'm just saying I choose to get to the root of all issues and find out where they're going. And if they're only giving you part truth, then you're being led astray. find that out. Don't just listen to me. Find it up for yourself. Look in the Bible. Check out the Bible thoroughly. You'll get the Spirit that tells you that they're filling you full of lies. And then you'll be able to be going down the right path. And that solid rock foundation that you're on won't be movable. Because no matter what they try to say or do to you, as they did for me for many, many years in this country where they're trying to deport me for no reason, I wasn't listening to lies. I was listening to God. And he's saying, I brought you here from Canada because I wanted you to help with others expose all this. And this is another reason why we're doing this show, the Pit Radio News, the politically inconvenient truth, because it's politically inconvenient for politics to do and say when we say the truth. And this is what we're here for. This is all we're here for. We're not getting paid by this in any monetary ways. I don't want money for this. All I want is to do the right thing by God, and that's what our host, our other co-host, Gary, is doing the same thing. We're here because we're here for God and for country and for family and for you people to give you the truth. And we've said before, if we're ever saying that something that's out of line, that's not of real godly truth, of the Holy Spirit, then call us on it. Tell us and prove it to us, because we do not want to make mistakes. We're not perfect, but if we're making a mistake, then please call us on it. Just like we're saying to vote for the right people, as you mentioned, Gary, voting this coming, the 2020 election, get involved. Get into the Bible. Understand what they're trying to do with twisting any part of the Constitution that was based on the Bible. And if it's being indoctrinated and twisted and turned, don't stand for it. If you don't stand for the truth, you'll fall for anything. And that's exactly what people are doing. So I'll let you take over for this. Gary, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you're exactly right. And I wish I could get one guest that would be really good sometime in the future. I don't know if she's still living or not, but it's Kitty Werthmann. She would live through what Hitler, you know, she lived in Austria, and she lived through the regime of Hitler, and she actually said Hitler did not seem like a monster when they first, you know, because he promised prosperity. He didn't come in with tanks and guns to take over, violent, take over the country. He come in and promised, and he said he won with 98% of the votes because Austria was suffering from a deep depression. You know, like it was 30% unemployment, and the banks were charging 25% interest. He said farmers were going under, and of course Hitler said he vowed to fix all that. And he said actually the first year actually did some good because he started implementing socialism. And see, the thing was about socialism, it will work a little bit, you know, but it doesn't work very long. It just works temporarily because the money does run out, and you have to keep expanding it, which makes it tougher and tougher. And you see with the Democrat Party, and there's some Republicans doing it too, they're doing exactly the same thing. They keep wanting to expand it. All we can do right now, all we're doing right now is slowing it down, and hopefully, when the Democrat Party is pushing socialism, they're actually saying it now, because you're starting to see this indoctrination. You remember, they're indoctrinating them back in the 60s, and now you're starting to see these people are getting into power, and these people are pushing socialism, and hopefully that's a couple of our older guys that live and had experience in life, and the experience is even is a better teacher than education that you go and you get in the university. And when you get experience, when you run a business and you understand there's a lot of risks in business, Donald Trump will tell you that too. And most of the time you fail because you can't hold it afloat. But when you implement socialism, they put more and more shackles on the business, which increases the chance of failure. You do not, the thing is, it's tough enough. You want to get those shackles removed. And I have enough experience. I've run my whole life. I farmed since I was just a kid. I was farming, did work. But I started doing the books and started doing that stuff when I took over, you know, back in, was it 1991, I believe. I took over, and I had to run it. I had to pay the expenses, and when you have to do all that stuff, you realize it isn't that easy. It sounds easy to some, but it's easier said than done. It's a lot more difficult when you have to do it yourself. And then you have experience. You know, you just by common sense, you know that socialism doesn't work just by experience. You say, how can this work? How can they get rid of all gasoline-powered fuels or fossil fuels? in 10 years and claiming we're going to die in 12 years if we don't do this. That's not true. Al Gore promised the same thing, and here we're still going. We're doing pretty good, in fact. Well, except for the government involving themselves. They seem like they just mess things up for all of us. But that's what they do, and then they panic, get people panicking, so they vote for them. And that's it's just a power grab is what it is. And, you know, they're pushing this, and, of course, that's exactly when you have this new green movement, that's actually exactly what socialism does. It controls every aspect of your life. They even want to control what you eat. You know, they want to say, well, cows pass methane gas. You know, and they're trying to ban that. I mean, they're attempting to. I said, animals, all animals do that. I said, what are you going to do, get rid of all animal life? I mean, I know. That's the point. That's the thing. You got to eat. And, well, they're just, like I said, it's when they want to control, they want to control, and they're going to use the environment to control everything, what we drive, what we eat, where we stay, how big a house we can have, what our house can use. They want to destroy. This is a thing. This really should alarm everybody, and they're serious about this. They want to rebuild every structure and every building and redo it for the green movement. So your home will have to be completely rebuilt. And I wonder who's going to pay for all that. I know the homeowner, many of them can't do that. That costs them a fortune. I mean, you'll put them out on the street. If you want to see homelessness, you'll see a lot of that if they implement that. You know, there's no way you can do it. The government doesn't have the money. The taxpayers don't have enough money to do this. And if you want to see grocery stores dry up, the shelves will start going out. There'll be no empty shelves in the grocery stores. Implement socialism. You'll see that, and then people will start. He says then when you're walking their dog, they'll start eating their dogs because they'll have to live. I mean, Donald Trump said that. I thought it was kind of funny. He says in America, we walk our dogs. We don't want to eat our dogs. That's why we're against socialism, because that, and over in those foreign countries, the socialism's implemented. You eat bugs or dogs or anything, you know, you eat your pets. Well, that's the thing, see. And here, you know, we don't have to do that. We have, you know, the freedom, you know, where we can grow our foods, or, and you can, you know, harvest, you know, deer if you need to, you know, when hunting is great. That'll all be banned under socialism because they want your guns. And if they think it's just the so-called AR-15s and your AK-47s, that's just a stepping stone. They want all of them. And I don't know how they're going to get those either, because they don't have the resources to go to door-to-door to confiscate. And I don't know. I don't really like the idea of government coming to everybody's door, because they're not going to just do it one time. They'll have to do it over and over and over again. The government is getting increasingly paranoid of the people. And that's kind of scary, you know. And what Katie Worthman said right at the end, she said, when you fear the government, you have tyranny. But when the government fears you, you have freedom and liberty. And that's very true. So I'm going to turn this back over to you.
Well, you're exactly right. And I was going to make a point also with just to get put in some perspective about the other people's money stuff. First off, we have our God that's actually gives us two choices. Basically, you know, we can choose free will or we can choose God's will. Okay? So now what's happening is what governments and other people of that attitude, that mindset of the attitude of, you know, basically they want to use other people's money and whatever happened with socialism and communist or whatever, what they're doing is they're actually playing God. Now let me help you understand why I believe they're helping or why they're playing God. Because God gives us the freedom, okay? If we were to choose his will and do his will, when we get to those pearly gates and we get to heaven and whatever for judgment, and he's not going to say, why are you here? Well, I'm here because I followed you. And there's not going to be anything bad about that. But if we were to do our own will, and he's going to say, well, what did you do? You didn't follow me. So therefore, you followed man. So therefore, what's happening here is, you know, you didn't do the right, you didn't desire the right way of path. So therefore, what I'm getting to here is this. We have the two choices that God gives us. We can we can do that. Have the free will, which we have major consequences for. We're going to mess up. Or we can do his will and do the right thing, and then we're on the right path. The government wants to say, for example, as you mentioned and eloquently spoke about, Gary, about the all these different things that they want to have. You know, they want to give us all this stuff and whatever have you, but it comes down to other people's money. So what they're doing is they're dictating by saying, you know, we're going to – this is all free. This is all free. Free for everybody. But it's not free. Because what happens is you're getting it from other people's money that are working, that are doing everything they can to do the right thing. And you know what? I have no problem. I'm going to give an example. I have no problem with helping people out, okay? But he gave me the freedom to choose. So in other words, our money, I believe, our money, we're managers for God, for Yah. We're managers. He says it's a blessing. What you got is because I gave it to you. If it's not what I give you, it's ill-gotten gains. It's of the enemy, the evil, and whatever have you. So therefore, it's not a blessing. It's a curse. So my point is this. My wife and I, we found out a few weeks ago that our church is going to Israel in July. Okay? Israel is the actual way to pronounce it, Hebrew way. So we are planning on going there. And the pastor, you know, he says we're going to try and make it as affordable for everybody as we can. In other words, you got 5 months basically or whatever to save for it, okay? So in other words, so see what he said? We're going to try and make it as affordable as you possibly can to go and whatnot. So after the church, my wife, we said, well, you know what? We're going to save, but we're also going to save for other people that are maybe less fortunate, okay? That's because God, Yah, put it on our hearts to do something for somebody else, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. The difference is we have it in our heart to do that. We're not being forced. God did not force us to do this and say, you know what, you have to do this for someone else. You have to. No, we already have that set-apart spirit inside us that says, you know what, we want to actually save for other people, not just ourselves. We want to have other people forced enough to go to there because we feel it's really important for people to go to Israel and see where Yeshua, where Jesus walked the streets and did now a whole bunch of other things, okay? And you can be transformed so much easier that way too. So we want to help other people, okay? But that's with our money, because our money means it's Yah's money. It's God's money. We're managing it the way He sees fit because it's in our heart to do the right thing. But we weren't forced. This was out of our own following Him. We believe we're following His advice because we're managing it, and it's His money. So therefore, we know we're going to do the right thing. Now, it depends on who we're giving it to also. Are they receiving it the right way? Are they just a lazy person that doesn't care and they're just waiting for handouts? We want to give a hand up. So that's what it is, not a handout. So there's the difference between what we're trying to do in this example as opposed to the socialists. They want to give everything for free, and they want everybody else, other people's money to pay for it. But they're the ones that are saying, well, you're now having to pay for this because we just implemented this, so therefore you have to pay for this. That's a difference, folks. And so what do you think about that example, Gary, as what I'm trying to say as far as socialists as opposed to our own doing the right thing that God wants us to do as opposed to what man is trying to push on us? What are your thoughts with that example?
Well, you're exactly right on that, and I'll tell you why. And I'm going to go a step farther. The socialists are the ones demanding that we pay for it, correct? And
yes.
What about the ones demanding that, the ones in Congress? Do you know, they're the ones that exempt themselves. They're the ones that
right.
don't want to participate in it, see? And that even makes it worse. You know, like this health care.
I said,
why don't you go? If it's such a great plan, why don't you go on it? All they did was laugh at
me. Like Obamacare.
So you know very well.
Like Obamacare.
Yeah.
Like Obamacare. Remember, that's...
Mm-hmm. Yep. They have their own, you know, they take care of themselves. And the thing is that we have to pay for theirs too, by the way. They get all this stuff free, food, everything
right.
they get. Basically, we could have an 80% tax on them and they'd still make money because it doesn't cost them nothing to live there. Everything's provided for. I think maybe their living expenses they got to pay for, but like their food and even their booze, their alcohol they drink, we pay for that too.
Right.
We wine and dine them. You know, and a lot of times I'm going to bring this up. Might not be a pleasant thing for them to hear, but a lot of times too, some of them involve themselves in prostitution, and we're paying for that
yep.
too. See,
right?
A lot of that's going on. You know, look at the, Look at Anthony Weiner. You know what he did? He was texting nude pictures of himself to underage
right.
girls. That's why he lost. Yeah. I mean, this is how corrupt that they are there. And why would people want to put these people in power? You know, why would you want to vote these people in? They're dangerous.
Because not knowing, they're not doing enough vetting to find out who they're bringing in. It's no different than somebody coming from another country. If we're not vetting them to find out what they're really like, how are we going to know until they get here? But then they start destroying and doing non-biblical things. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's the thing. This is what we got to fix. I know Donald Trump was trying to fix it. It's not very easy to do. But he's trying to get, get the raw sewage out. That's what I'm going to declare. Some of these people are no different than raw sewage. I mean, Morgan Brittany, we were talking to her, and she said it's similar in Hollywood, too, the same thing. She said you have these perverted people in there, you know, and she said it's become a sewer. That's what it has. She said it's become a sewer, and that's kind of like politicians in Washington. It's not a glamorous place. It's become a sewer. A sewer is what it is. You know, that's what it is. I'm going to use that term. I think it's true. I think it fits. So,
sewer rats.
Yeah, sewer rats. Yeah.
that's what they do, and they just they'll do anything for anything. It's all to get what they want, and they don't care what they take from, who they take from, and what they're doing with it. And that's why it's so important. See, they don't want to be vetted. You see, they don't want even the people coming from other countries to be vetted because they know that those people, probably 90% of them, will actually side with them because they'd rather have all the energy going into corruption than to use only half of that for doing the right thing. What a wasted energy. They could be doing so much more if they just focus the energy that they're using on the corruptness and power and greed. If they use half of that energy for just to go along and do what God's will is, impressive how this country and how this world would run, but see, God knew that's what it would be like, and that's why he sent Yeshua, Jesus, to come and for him to say, follow me. If you don't follow me, this is what you're going to get, and this is what we're getting, folks. This is why we're getting what we're getting, because not enough people are following Yeshua's ways. They're not doing that. They're actually following in man's ways, and this is why we're getting all this garbage, this sewage, the sewer rats out there just feasting on everything, and they're taking from us. Not asking us, they're telling us. That's what the difference is. They're not asking us.
And
they're saying, well,
and if we demand vetting and accountability, then we're racist. They call us racist. You're a bunch of bigots and racists. You don't like people. Oh, come on.
Yep.
I mean, that's exactly what
they're
doing
to
us. And
it's true.
You can only push us around for so long, and we're going to fight back. And that's what we're starting to do. We're going to fight back. And like I said, time to give that place an enema.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Yep. Right. And sometimes it starts with the end of my finger pointing at the people that are doing it. You know, pointing at the people that are doing, end of my finger. You know, that you are the ones that are doing. Let's call them out. That's why we vet them. We call them out, and then let the people choose from the truth of all the truth, not just what they're saying is the truth or they're part of the story. No, let's hear both sides, really both sides. Let's hear the truth and the lies, and then people have an actual fruitful discussion and be able to make their own thoughts and their own. They can vote the way they want with, and then they're held accountable for doing their own research and vetting and finding out who they voted for, really truly voted for, and then make their own decision. At least then, if they make a mistake, it's their mistake. It's not all based on a lie that they didn't vet, which is even worse mistake. At least if you make the vetting and research and find out for sure in your own mind that you feel at peace with your decision, at least then if you made a mistake, you did it because you at least really, really, really care enough to actually try and find out where the truth is. But you know, this has been a great show, folks, and I think it's been a very revealing show, as all of them are. But you know, we need you people to come on here and you know, voice your thoughts and concerns within government, within going against the Bible. And just bring it together, the truth. You know, we want everybody to come in here and bring it together, the truth. Bring the truth together so
we can
actually get somewhere.
We want people's passions, too. We want your passion on this, too. Because, like I said, we've had enough, and we're going to put an end to this. Like I said, we're going to have to fight back for what's right. We're not going to expect anything perfect, but like I said, it's time to, you know, let's just say get rid of the weeds, so to speak, you know, get rid of them. Let's get a little 2,4-D and spray them a little bit, get rid of the weeds, and let's just put in the proper plants, I guess you can say, the proper people in there that can run the country efficiently and run it right and honestly, and get rid of the people who are pushing for this idea that has a 0-0-0 batting average, socialism, and get rid of that, because it's failed every place else and it will fail here. And how they can scam us into thinking that they can make a success of it, believe me, they're not that smart. Some of these politicians are running and they're calling for socialism. Do you think they're that bright? No, they're not that bright. I mean, I would love to have a debate with them. They'd never debate us because we'd smoke them. I mean, we would smoke them in the debate. That's why they won't come on. They will never come on here, you know, because they aren't that smart. They think they are. They're arrogant. One thing about arrogant people, it's their arrogance that actually be their downfall, too, because those are the people that are most insecure, my friend. You know, and now as long as they don't censor us, this is what's happening too. I'm a little concerned. Facebook and YouTube is censoring conservatives now, and that's wrong too. But that's a sign of fear. That's how scared people behave. We got to shut these people up. They might influence people. We don't want that. We want our socialism to get through. You know, that's what they're scared of. All socialists are like that. They want to shut up the opposition. So anyway, I'll turn this back to you, my friend.
Well, you're exactly right. And, you know, as a farmer, you would know, and many people, but some people don't know because they're not farmers. If you planted something and you know what that crop is looking like, and if you have weeds and that weed looks a lot like the crop, and if you're not sure what the plant's supposed to look like, you're not sure what the weed's supposed to look like, you have to decipher, you have to know, you have to research and vet to find out if that's a weed. Actually the plant, and if you get rid of the weed, the plant grows better. So it's no different with government. We need to know what that weed looks like, if it's actually a weed or if it's actually a real thriving plant. And if we don't know the difference, how are we going to know until it's too late, when the weeds overtake the crop? So therefore we don't want to water the weeds. We want to pull them out by their roots. So the only way we're going to be able to do that is to vet them, to research, to find out how deep this root goes, and if it is actually a weed or if it's actually a plant. We can't just listen to one person like you or myself and say, well, that's a weed or that's a plant. Don't just take our word for it, folks. We need you to vet. We need you to research to see if what is a weed and what was supposed to be planted in the first place to help thrive. So because if we don't know the difference, then how are we going to – it's no different than history. If you don't know the real history, you're doomed to repeat – it's doomed to repeat itself. So it's no different than a weed. If a weed's in there and it looks like the plant, you got to find out what the weed really – if it is really the weed and if that's really the plant. If you don't, then the weed's going to overtake the plant, and therefore we're not going to have any fruits. We're not going to have – and we're not going to have any crops. We're not going to have anything that we need to survive. And this is why we haven't for many, many years. Now, mind you, the last few years we have President Donald Trump that's doing a lot of great things by taking those weeds out and exposing the weeds. But we need to help him. We need to help God first. And once we do that, we're going to know the difference between a weed and a plant that we want to have, want to keep, and want to maintain and help grow and nourish. No different than our children or no different than anything out there. We need to actually pull the weeds out, but we need to recognize the weeds first. So let's recognize what is weeds before we vote. Before we vote, we can't just say, oh, well, see, all these people like this girl, this guy, or this or that. Find out what their background is. Find out what they really mean. See if they're contradictive. See if they say one thing and they've changed their mind, and if they change their mind, could be great, but why? Are they doing it because they changed their mind because they realized that was the error of their ways? Are they doing it because they want to follow masses and keep that going on? And then when they get into office, they'll go back to revert to where they were and what they really believed. We need to vet that right from the grassroots up. So that's just a thought that comes on our hearts to show you and to expose out there, because we can't do it alone. We need everybody's help to do the right thing.
Exactly.
And that's the way. the only way we can do it. So on that note, we are at the end of the show here. And do you have any final thoughts with that there, Gary?
No, I think we got pretty much everything I wanted to say. I'll have a lot more next week again. So,
okay.
But anyway, yeah, I think we had a good show this time, probably one of our best shows. So anyway, I'll let you close up, my friend, and I'm going to get a little bite to eat. So.
Okay, sounds good. I will. We always end with what this show is really all about: some hard work. You know, not just resting on what other people are doing for us. We want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. So we have some hard work, and it's by Paul Harvey. So I want to thank you all for joining us here on the Pit Radio News. The Pit stands for the Politically Inconvenient Truth. And our number you can call any week, 646-787-8534, and press 1 if you have a comment or question. We'll get you up here and share your thoughts and join in the discussion. We'd love to have you. And we thank you for joining us today, and bless you all, bless your families, and y'all bless America, and bless you too there, Gary, and your family, okay?
And God bless you and your family too, my friend.
Thank you all. See you next Sunday.
You bet.
Americans preachers tell me that there is no sermon which is looked forward to with less enthusiasm than a sermon about sin. Well, that's probably true if we're talking about a secular sermon on the subject of hard work. There is no gospel less popular than the gospel of hard work. I could ask you today, I could ask you right now to demonstrate your faith in America by handing poison to snakes, and many or most of you would. I could outline a fundamental Christian code of conduct which strictly forbids the use of stimulants or sedatives or the wearing of jewelry, and many would, willingly and without question, accept and be bound by such abstinence. Our leaders could readily rally you to fight and die for your country, as they have many times, and you would even again. But if Paul Harvey or any politician should state that our only chance for survival is to get off our dead centers and get to work, well, I'd be lucky if you'd let me finish. But I'm going to test my luck today. You see, I don't happen to be running for or from anything, and that does make a difference. The pregnant skyline of America was set in place one brick at a time. Now, that represents a lot of calluses. America the Beautiful is not an accomplished fact guaranteed to remain intact. God shed his grace on thee, to be sure, but this was wasteland when God had it to himself. He handed man a hoe and said, "You want another Eden? All right, earn it." And all that's necessary for the weeds to take over again is for you and me to lay down that hoe. Now, Americans, the problem is less acute today than it has been. We're on the right track right now. But if we sit down on that track, I'm afraid we're going to get run over. We tell our young people how our country was carved out of the wilderness. No, it wasn't. Our nation was not carved out of the wilderness. Our nation was hammered and hoed and chopped and dug and sawed and clawed out of the wilderness by barehanded men who asked nothing for nothing. America did not start out with an agricultural production that's the awe and envy of the world. It was seeded first by sod-busting farmers who fought Indians and ranchers and cold and heat and drought and bugs and flood and one another. The fruited plain sprang forth from barren acres only after they had been watered with a lot of sweat. I guess what I'm saying is that the more history I study, ours and others, the more certain I am that there is one fertilizer essential to the survival of civilization, and that fertilizer is sweat. And I don't mean perspiration. I mean the kind of steamy, streamy, salty sweat that's wrung from a man by hard physical work. Somehow, the sweat gets into the soil of a farm or a factory or a city or a state or a nation, and everything thereabouts grows tall and strong and tough enough to stand against any storm. But the day the sweat dries up, the soil dries up, and whole civilizations are buried in dust.